Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we have a very special treat in store for you today. We have one of our favorite guests on tap, who is well known to you. She is Suzanne Summers. Suzanne is a champion of complementary and alternative medicine. We've had her on as a guest very frequently, and she has been extremely courageous as a spokesperson for an alternative way to approach health issues. She's written some great books, Knockout, which is about cancer, The Sexy Years, Bombshell, and of course, she has spoken to many groups across the country. She has a TV program where she's getting the word out about natural therapies. She has a great new book, and it's on a subject that I think is extremely important. We talk a lot about menopause, but we don't talk enough about something that precedes menopause. You're not supposed to have this until you have menopause. You're not supposed to have problems. But there are tens of millions of American women who suffer from problems associated with perimenopause. So, Suzanne, take it away. Tell us a little bit about your new book, I'm Too Young for This.
Well, that's a lament I hear over and over again. It was actually my publishers, who are all women at Crown, which is a random house, and the ages that are in the office are 35 to 50, and they said, you are missing out on a whole market who were too young when you first started writing your books on hormones, and they're ready now, but they have no idea what's happening to them. And they said, and we all feel we're too young for this. And I said, that's what I hear all the time. Someone will say, I can't sleep, or I'm bloated, or whatever. And when I give an answer saying it's your hormones, they go, no, I'm too young for this. So clearly, it's a passage that's not understood, again, in orthodox medicine. And I know that when I was in perimenopause, A, I didn't know I was in perimenopause. B, I didn't know what perimenopause was. But I remember hearing a doctor or two now and then saying, oh, you're probably in perimenopause, and that was it.
Yeah, because, I mean, frankly, it's much easier to treat menopause because, you know, well, then you say, well, your periods are done. Okay, yeah. Maybe you're a candidate for hormone replacement therapy. Unfortunately, they give you the wrong stuff. They give you the conventional hormones, but that's another subject entirely. At least there's something that can be done. But for perimenopause, they kind of look at you and say, you know, it's real common. Tough it out. That's the way it is.
And women who are in perimenopause, they go, well, this can't be happening to me. I still get my period. And so I think what women need to know is that's the last thing to go. Along the way, as you're declining in hormones, you're surging, and that's why it's so hard to treat. One day your estrogen's sky high, and then it pummels, and then the next day your progesterone's sky high, and that's why women from ages 35 to 50-ish, on both ends, ish, are extremely moody and have trouble sleeping, and the biggest complaint I hear is an absolute lack in having a libido in a sex drive.
Yep.
And you know what women don't understand is if you're declining in your sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, you can't feel sex. That's why you're not in the mood. You can participate, but it's not the same as it used to be, and so many women think it's their husband or partner. And how many marriages break up over hormones, be it perimenopause or menopause, because another nasty side effect, part of the language of perimenopause and menopause, as I call it, is moodiness, or, you know, I have the seven dwarves, which makes women understand. Seven dwarves of menopause, itchy, bitchy, sleepy, sweaty, bloated, forgetful, and all dried up. But all of those dwarves, as I call them, are a language, and they manifest as symptoms, and it's in essence your body asking, screaming to replace what's missing. And as soon as it gets what it's used to having, it calms down again, and that is hormones as determined by the individual's blood work so that they can restore themselves to their perfect, optimal, healthy prime.
Well, let's pose the question, though, and step back for a moment before we provide solutions. Why should it be thus? Is it a woman's lot to suffer these pangs of perimenopause for 15 or 20 years prior to actually having a cessation of her periods? Or is it something about our modern diets, lifestyles, things in our environment that cause this?
Well, certainly aging is accelerated now by toxins and stress. They say we experience more stress in a single day in today's world than people of Elizabethan times did in their entire lifetime, and they were chased by saber-toothed tigers. So, but it is biology, isn't it? I mean, the brain recognizes a reproductive person, be it man or woman, as a valuable person, because the job of the brain is to keep the body alive for perpetuation of the species. So if the brain perceives, because of hormonal imbalance, that this person is no longer reproductive or not optimally reproductive, its job essentially is to get rid of you so that you can make way for the young, healthy, reproductive ones. This is biology in its without any emotion involved in it. And all these hormonal imbalance is accelerated by the stress, and it's accelerated by poor diet and greatly accelerated by the diet that we're eating that's predominantly chemicals and pesticide-laden, and then add to it the cosmetics that we're wearing and the skin care that we're putting on, which is all chemicals, and then add to that what you're cleaning your house with. And I don't know if you've noticed in your practice, but I've sure noticed it in my world that people are more and more realizing that they have extreme chemical sensitivities, extreme food allergies, mm-hmm. intolerances. And when you start piecing together the gut-brain connection of how important your diet is, how important it is to determine what foods your body cannot tolerate, that it actually accepts as poison. For me, it's eggs. If you keep eating those offending foods, as you know, you inflame your intestines. Your immune system is made in your intestines. You stop making sufficient serotonin, which is your feel-good hormone, which communicates directly to the dopamine center of the brain. And when that is not getting its hit, the whole axis is thrown off, you know, with the HPA axis, and then the thyroid's affected. And when the thyroid's affected, then the whole downstream chorus of hormones is off. Adrenals, cortisol, insulin, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, pregnenolone. So you can't haphazardly throw a hormone at someone and say, oh, just have a little estrogen. You've got to really test to see where are all your deficiencies. And if I had understood in perimenopause, A, that I was in perimenopause, but if I had understood the language of my body, I would have then known that I was estrogen dominant because I wasn't making enough progesterone.
Well, that's a very, very important word because, you know, we tend to think of, okay, you know, you get older, your hormones just simply decline in a linear way, you know, gradually they go out and then you stop having your periods and that's it. But actually, you know, what I explain to women in my practice is that getting towards menopause, it's kind of like the 1812 overture. You kind of go out with a bang rather than a whimper. You know, it's like fireworks. And your hormone,
right.
You know, one day you might have very surging levels of certain hormones, as you said earlier, and other days they might be very deficient, and that puts you into a tizzy. So explain estrogen dominance. It has the connotation of like a dominatrice, you know,
right.
Wearing fishnet stockings and a leather, outfit with a whip. You know, estrogen dominance, you're like, whip me.
Well, in its way, doesn't it, though?
It does whip
a
lot of women.
Because estrogen dominance is really the term for saying that person, and this was me, is not making enough progesterone. And women need to understand that progesterone is your anti-carcinogenic hormone. The way nature, in all its perfection, set this up was that we made estrogen in varying amounts every day of the month, and then 2 weeks of the month we made progesterone in varying amounts, rising and falling in a rhythm. In early man, we cycled to the lunar cycles. And if you think about the lunar cycle, we were most fertile, making the highest amount of estrogen on the 12th day, which coincides with the full moon. And mm-hmm. when you think back on early man, there was no light.
Right.
And so when darkness came, it was black. But on the full moon, women who were most fertile could stay up and make love by the light of the moon. And then the next day, the estrogen on the 13th day falls, and that's when the progesterone starts rising. It's kind of a beautiful symphony.
It's sort of like, the effects of the tides on the body, through the gravitational pull, too. You know, it created a natural cycle.
It's exactly right. And so in our mid-30s, because of stress and toxicity accelerating the decline in hormones, now all of a sudden women are, one of the symptoms would be painful, swollen breasts and weight gain that's unexplained. And
the B word, bloating. I hear a lot of complaints about
bloating.
That's one of your seven dwarves.
And constipation. They're all complaining about these things, never connecting the dots. But I feel it's so important that they understand when they go to their qualified doctor, and that's key, is qualified. A doctor like yourself who understands bioidentical hormone replacement, which is natural hormone replacement. Sometimes young women only need progesterone at first.
Mm-hmm.
They're making sufficient estrogen,
yes,
but not enough progesterone to balance them out and even them out. And so initially I think that's probably what I needed. I was clearly estrogen dominant. I did not replace progesterone, and that was when my brain said, aha, this woman is no longer able to make a baby, so how do I get rid of this woman? And that's, I'm simplifying it so much, but I want people to understand.
Right. You're having your periods.
My tumor was growing for 10 years by the size of it by the time they found it in menopause. So
right. You had a brush with cancer, obviously. Mm-hmm.
So we could help prevent cancer by understanding hormone replacement and hormone balancing. And then why, when this is available, when most people wouldn't hesitate to take an antibiotic to save their life, yet they're afraid to take a hormone? And I read an interesting fact recently that I knew that we need hormones, but this fact was if we suddenly lost all our hormones, that we would die within about 10 minutes. That's how important hormones are to who we are as people and the communication between the organs and glands. It's the juice of youth. So this book, I'm Too Young for This, takes women, how your body works, the passages of women, puberty, and then goodbye to puberty, and now we're into that beautiful phase where you're reproductive, which is your 20s, and sometimes women get to be in that beautiful phase all through their 30s. Most women now are starting to decline around 35, but that's nirvana. That's when you feel good. That's when you have a high sex drive. That's when you fall in love and every part of your body is working at optimum. You're just all juicy. And just about when you get to that place where you love your life and you have children, and then your body starts to, something goes wrong, and that's when women are going, I don't know why I can't sleep, and I don't know why I don't feel like sex, and I don't know why I'm so bloated, and I'm gaining weight, and I exercise all the time, and I eat right, or they eat less. Usually they're not eating right. And now you're into the perimenopausal phase. If they, women, understand what's in this book and what you already know, they can completely sail through perimenopause and into menopause without ever really suffering by filling the tank in the exact amounts that vary from year to year as your needs change, so that you don't experience the symptoms that I did for 3 years, where I would sleep for 15 minutes and then wake up soaking wet and then be up for 3 hours and exhausted and fall back asleep again for 15 minutes and then wake up soaking wet, because my thyroid was off with all the other things. So there was nothing regulating my body temperature and nothing regulating my weight gain or loss. And I was, for 3 years, just suffering. I really don't think I got more than 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night, except for that occasional night where you just were so exhausted. You slept
which of course, adds to your stress and builds up your cortisol. And it turns out that individuals who don't sleep, they actually end up gaining weight. You think, well, you know, spend less time sleeping, you'll burn up more energy. Well, in fact, sleep helps you lose weight.
Right, because the insulin, when your estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, which are the minor hormones, dip, it pushes up the insulin, thyroid, cortisol, adrenal. So if the minors are low, then the majors, which is one of them is insulin, that's high. And that's why they're gaining weight while they're not eating, and they can't sleep, and they're gaining weight because they can't sleep, and they're gaining weight because their thyroid is off and because their adrenals are off. So it takes a doctor who understands the alchemy, the chemistry of the body, and it's artful. And you can't just go to any doctor. You need to go to a doctor who's truly an artist of this symphony.
Well, you know,
and
when it comes to
right there is why people like you and me get the kind of criticism that we do from orthodox medicine, because I don't know. And this is with all due respect, but I find that doctors are down on what they're not up on,
mm-hmm,
that
surely
they didn't learn in medical school, because it's probably embarrassing, because we expect our doctors to have all the answers.
Well, here's, you know, the orthodox view is you don't use bioidentical hormones, because those are, I don't know, those, they're, you know, they're not sanctioned by the powers that be. They're not made
right
by the major drug companies, number one. And number two, estrogen and hormones are dangerous, so try not to use them. Use them as little as possible, because you're gonna cause cancer. And you know, women are mortified because there's so much breast cancer. You know, virtually every woman knows, you know, either has experienced it or has a relative or a friend who's had breast cancer. So they're absolutely terrified at the prospect of taking any outside substance that could, you know, in any way increase their risk of breast cancer. And you have a very detailed section in your book which addresses the myth that hormones, particularly bioidentical hormones, generate cancer. So why don't you tackle that myth?
Well, for instance, there are studies backing up the safety and efficacy, and I listed so many of them at the back of this book and throughout the book, and I really tried to make this a fail-safe, in that any statement that I made, I have the study to back it up right there in the book. But for instance, you know, the American Cancer Society published a study of 422,000 women in 1996. Those women who experienced natural menopause by the age of 40, who used bioidentical hormones, had a 41% decreased chance of dying from breast cancer.
Wow.
Now, that's the American Cancer Society, and yet you have to dig deep to find that study, because they have their feet on both sides of the fence. But there was another study that I know you know, the Fournier study, 80,000 women in 2007, and that was a significant study, because it said patients who took the synthetic hormones, Premarin and Provera, had a 69% increased risk of breast cancer. Increased.
Yeah.
Increased on synthetic, decreased on bioidentical. And so when doctors say, you're going to get cancer, I stare at them like there's something wrong with them. The proof is in those of us who jumped on this fast-moving train. We are healthier, and I am one of those women.
Well, you're certainly a testimony to that. I mean, you just look fantastic. I'm not going to mention your age unless you want to volunteer it.
But I actually yell it out to make aging aspirational, because if you know how to do it right, it becomes so enjoyable. I'll be 67 in a week or so.
Goodness gracious, and you just look fabulous.
I feel amazing. I don't have any trouble with my weight. I sleep 8 hours a night without any drugs at all. I take my hormone melatonin, of course. I exercise. My bones are strong. I can do a handstand in yoga. My brain is working better than ever because it's not depleted of, you know, valuable estrogen, which is so important to neuronal replication. So, and I think more than anything, as there become more and more of us, and we're the baby boomers who are aging, who have been able to keep their brains, and the only way you can keep your brain in today's world, because our brains are under attack, is to avoid chemicals as best you can, eat organic, use organic cosmetics. I happen to have a company that makes certified toxic-free organic skin care and makeup. Even the powder that women use has plastic in it, and the lipstick we've been using has lead in it.
So you know, I just did a story on my podcasts on Health Talk and on Intelligent Medicine about the Endocrine Society, which is the very self-same people who will say don't take natural hormones. They're all for conventional hormones, very conservative. But that group issued a very surprising new position paper against what are called endocrine-disrupting chemicals, which they say are ubiquitous in our environment. They come from our plastics. They're in our water. They're in our foods. They're, you know, deliberately added to containers and cans and children's toys. And they affect our thyroids. They affect our breasts, prostates, and so on, that these are very, very dangerous environmental products. And cosmetics are just loaded with these EDCs, endocrine-disrupting chemicals.
And there's a cumulative effect. So if your makeup is toxic and your skincare is toxic and your food is toxic and you clean your house with toxic cleaners and the air already has its problems and the fumes, you know, here in New York City, the fumes, there's a tipping point where the liver says, I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The liver starts groaning. So every change you make, is significant. And, that's why I went into the, toxic free. We're really proud of this product because it's cosmetics and makeup that are good for you and shampoos and conditioners that are actually good for you. Even the preservatives are Japanese honeysuckle. We don't use any kind of chemical preservative. And with the Japanese honeysuckle, we can give you a 2-year shelf life. And it is so different to use toxic-free products.
I see that that's up on your website at SuzanneSummers.com.
SuzanneSummers.com. The difference in my hair in the last 2 years of using the Suzanne Organic shampoo and conditioner is astounding. Between the hormone replacement and no chemicals on my scalp, my hair is thick like a young girl's and growing long. I have to cut it. And before that, I was always buying hair masks and anything I could to keep it, you know, the luster in it. So, It was exciting to me to see that you can reverse the damage that's been done. So I just look at this whole experience that I'm having and that you so artfully do in your practice as the new way to age. And if that doesn't appeal to someone listening, then at least you know it exists. But for those of us who would like to take advantage of the life extension that we've all been granted now through technology like MRIs, CAT scans, sophisticated blood tests, antibiotics, even sewage disposal. All these things have extended life, but no one has thought about quality of life. And that's what you doctors and doctors like yourself are doing, of helping people to restore the quality of life so that we can take advantage of and enjoy the life extension that we now get through technology. If not, then you know what it looks like today. It's wheelchairs, it's nursing homes, it's Alzheimer's, it's foggy brain, it's dementia plus, it's heart disease. Why can't we die healthy? And why can't we die at an old age, healthy? It happens in different parts of the world, in the blue zones, where people who have taken, it's not even taken their health seriously, it's just a way of life, And there's a blue zone in Southern California. It's very called Loma Linda. They have a great medical center there, but that's not what I'm talking about. The people are, I think
they're the Seventh-day Adventists, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're
well,
on
they
a superb diet.
Yep. And they eat, you know, organic food. In fact, they are the first company that's going to be putting my Suzanne Organic line into their stores because it's right in line with their message. So these people live to be 90 and older with no disease or very little disease. It's just not the same as in other parts of the country. So I think that what we're all doing is really exciting. I love the idea of being around long after people usually are around so that I can see how it all turned out. But if I want to be there with a great brain and strong bones and not be a burden on society.
Well, you know, you certainly are a great
member of society.
You're a great role model, and you're in fact your own science fair project because you've undertaken stuff. you've said no to a lot of conventional medicine therapies,
right.
And you've found your own path. You know, right. Utilizing some of the top experts in the country and reading, and you know, I got to give you a lot of credit because it takes a lot of courage. And I have to say this, you know, and I've said this to you before, it takes a lot of courage as someone who is in the public eye like you, because you know, stars, you know, like it or not, this is America, and stars are role models, and stars are under a lot of pressure to conform and to, you know, get their medical care from Cedars-Sinai, and you know, when they get cancer, to get conventional care. And, you know, I'm sure you have personal stories of people that you've encountered in Hollywood who've gone on very conventional regimens, you know, for whatever medical problem they've had, and they've gone down the tubes and, you know, in spite of maybe some personal conversations you've had with them, because they just didn't want to step out of line, and they felt almost like, look, I got a public responsibility. I'm a celebrity. And, you know, I go to receptions with the people at Cedars-Sinai for all the benefits. And I can't go against the grain.
I just really believe that what I'm doing is the right way for me anyway. I look at my friends who are following, you know, conventional medicine, and I see, especially from my age on more and more drugs. And I'm not anti-pharmaceutical, but only when I absolutely need them, which is rare. When you need them, they're a godsend. But always, you know, using Jonathan Wright's famous phrase, using nature's tools first to find an answer. I remember being in the hospital for a misdiagnosis, that terrible thing which made me write Knockout, and they wanted to put me at that time on Coumadin, and I said, I don't want to take Coumadin, which is a blood thinner. It's a pharmaceutical blood thinner. I said, there's natokinase. There's a number of different natural blood thinners. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And that's when I really realized how tough it is to go up against the orthodox mm-hmm. community, because they mock you and ridicule you. And luckily, I knew better for me. And so it didn't make me popular at the hospital, but I just wouldn't take anything that they were throwing at me haphazardly. And the few things that were in my IV afterwards, it was very upsetting to realize that that had been in my body. So, you know, perimenopause is about understanding your intestines in a way that's really just understanding the gut-brain connection, and that the hormones are made, the director of the hormones is the pituitary, which takes its feed from the hypothalamus. Pituitary talks to the thyroid. Thyroid then talks to the adrenals, and then the rest of the hormones fall in line. But if your GI tract isn't working right, mm-hmm. none of that process is working right, so that's where the food and correct food choices come in.
Well, you know,
chemical food is not going to give your intestines the right signal.
This is absolutely being borne out with the research, which is now showing that whether you have the right type of bacteria in your intestinal tract can determine your entire metabolism. There, you know, there's evidence now that whether you're fat or thin, whether you have prediabetes or not, may have a lot to do with the state of your intestines. So what can we do about this? I mean, you have practical suggestions in the book for how to maintain a healthy GI tract.
Well, first, to understand that antibiotics are overused, that really question when you're going to have an antibiotic. Do you really have an infection, and does it really require an antibiotic? If so, then yes, absolutely. That's when an antibiotic can be a godsend. But if you don't really need it, if you go to the doctor with a cold and say you want a prescription, and so you bug them enough so that they give you a prescription for an antibiotic, you are going to disrupt the balance in your intestines. So I don't know, other than the doctors that I work with in the realm of anti-aging, of a normal orthodox doctor who ever gives you an antibiotic and a bottle of probiotic at the same time. Antibiotic takes away, and probiotic puts it back, and it just makes sense. So I start every morning and end every day with a probiotic. Every meal that I eat, I take digestive enzymes, because it just helps me digest my food so much better. There are just a number of things that I automatically do, understanding the value of enzymes, and as we get older, how enzymes decrease in production and how important they are in a toxic world. In between meals, enzymes have a little, you know, they're looking for something to do, so they eat up debris. That's the toxin. So there are a lot of, and this is all talked about in the book, there are a lot of things you can do today to survive a planet that is pretty much destroyed. But I don't look at that as hopeless. You know, you just have to, okay, here's the problem. How do I work around it? The food has been hijacked, so your food choices are real important now. Real important that you eat organic food. If you can grow your own, that's great. I grow my own, but I have a little bit of property, so I can do that. And I have sun year-round. If you can't grow your own, then it's worth it to do without something to get high quality food, because that's the fuel of your body. So you gotta put good fuel in. And like you would put good fuel into a great car, you wouldn't put interior fuel in it. So the human body is far beyond any car, no matter what kind. So you put incredible fuel in your body, and you sleep it right, you rest it right, you balance it, you think good thoughts. I read Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, The Power of One. Have you read that?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
It's an interesting book. It's about cells. And I didn't think I would find this interesting at all. I found it fascinating. And I had one major takeaway, that the human body is 60 to 90 trillion cells, approximately. I don't know who counted. And that all cells communicate with one another. And if you understand the concept of prayer, which is thought, thought creates. Well, when you program the cellular part of yourself, you can create happiness, you can create forgiveness, you can create resolution. So I have this little exercise that I do every day, and I know it sounds probably nutty, but I imagine my 90 trillion cells, and I just bring one forth, just one. And every morning I tell that cell how grateful I am for the life I have, for the health that I have, for the love that I have in my life, for my family, and that I love my work. And I just feed that cell with everything I actually feel. And then I envision yelling. It's got, you know, it's the town crier. Hey, we're happy, we're grateful, we have love in our life, we love our work, and they're all telling one another. And I swear, the minute I finish doing that little meditation, I wake up so happy, and because I'm creating it by programming myself. And I know that works, because the reason I read about this was when I was in the hospital 5 years ago with that terrible misdiagnosis that I had cancer everywhere in my body. Totally wrong. wanting to start me on chemotherapy. They were totally wrong. I had a fungus from working in the desert.
Yeah, you lived and worked in a desert area where that is common.
Coccidioidomycosis.
Right.
Which reads like cancer on a CAT scan.
Yes.
When six different doctors over six different days validated Dr. Number One's diagnosis that he had never seen so much cancer in
yeah.
the body.
Yeah, it was like the end of the road for you.
I didn't believe it at first, but by day six, I had accepted it. And I remember saying to my husband, if I have cancer everywhere in my body, what do you think that means? I have, what, 2 weeks, 2 months? I don't know. And when I had allowed them to do surgery to take a biopsy of one of the so-called so many tumors in your chest, we can't count them, and a piece of my lung, and found out when I was coming out of intensive care that, gee, you have no cancer at all anywhere. You would think I would experience total joy, but my cells had accepted the diagnosis
mm-hmm.
without emotion. Oh, okay, we're going to die? Okay.
Yep.
And I thought I was okay, but for the next year, me, this happy person, had a low-grade depression where
yeah.
I would cry for no reason, and I would feel sad, and I finally had to obtain the services of a therapist where she said, you are experiencing post-traumatic stress, and what I realized reading the...
She almost had to deprogram you after that.
She did. That's what she did, and then I realized, oh, the cells had all accepted the information, and that's when I realized, oh,
mm-hmm.
wow.
Well, you know, this
is totally
well documented.
In charge of how we feel and even our health. We tell it. We're healthy. Yeah.
Well, this is
we're
a very
happy.
Well-documented phenomenon because just as there's a placebo effect, which means, you know, I might give you a, you know, a sugar pill or, you know, just a bottle of distilled water and say that this is some magnificent remedy. You can do the opposite to patients. And doctors, unfortunately, do this all the time to patients. You know, patients come in and doctors say the craziest things to patients. They say, well, you know, it's probably nothing, but, you know, we have to make sure it's not a brain tumor, make sure that it's not leukemia. And, you know, that gets embedded in a patient's consciousness. And it's almost like a death sentence. It's the opposite of a placebo. It's a nocebo. It's almost like, okay, you're going to follow this program to death and deterioration. And I think that, you know, we have to be very, very cognizant that the mind is extraordinarily powerful. And as we, you know, and I think on a daily basis, you do a million things that not just by consciously doing affirmations, but by empowering yourself to take care of yourself, by exercising, by eating the right foods, by taking the right supplements and herbs and the right hormone replacement therapy. In so many ways, you're sending signals to your body that it's going to be okay, that we're nurturing the body, we're nurturing the cells, and that there's going to be a positive outcome. So, you know, that I mean, in some instances, that's going to fail. I mean, obviously, everybody, you know, can take a downturn. But this, I think, is a very, very important lost ingredient in medicine.
It absolutely is. And what you and I are talking about is a new approach to health, a new way to age. But when my readers go to their beloved doctor, who they love, they've been going to all their life, then that doctor will mock this information, and then they lose their nerve, and they get afraid. And I read so many letters or Twitters mm-hmm. and Facebook posts, but then my doctor said I was crazy for doing it, so I now I'm nervous, and now I don't know what to do. There is a consortium of doctors that Life Extension has pulled together, foreverhealth.com.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're a part of it. I would love you to be a part of it because
okay.
It's a free service to the reader who
mm-hmm.
goes there, and then they are directed through this website to a doctor such as yourself,
right.
Doctors who understand this kind of medicine. And it's such a great service to women, and it also will help them with their testing and interpretation.
Right.
And
you're also a big fan of the professional organization that I belong to, which is the American College for Advancement in Medicine. I know you've
absolutely.
Spoken many times there.
We work hand in hand.
Yes.
In fact, I'm keynoting the next ACAM.
Yes, you'll be in Palm Springs, which is that's a stone's throw away from your old stomping
where I
grounds.
Live. Right.
Right. Yeah.
That is where I live. So
yeah.
For once, I don't have to stay in a hotel, which is really nice. I love going to those conferences because it's all of you who understand and share ideas. There's no, it's not like the CIA and the NSA who don't want one another to know what they're doing. The doctors at ACAM all share their information, and it's the most upbeat group of people because everyone's excited about what they're doing because their patients are actually getting well. Most of the doctors in your field say to me, you know, I have patients who bring me flowers and candy and presents because they're so happy with how they
yes,
feel. You know, that's, I would think, if I were a doctor, that's what how I would want my patients to feel, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
It has to be so rewarding to have people say,
yeah, it's,
oh,
it's the
God.
Only way that I could practice medicine. And, you know, like you, I think I took a little bit of a different path and sometimes a harder path. And at times, you know, there's stresses and there are conflicts and there's difficulty because when you get off the beaten path, you know, and do things differently, you sometimes come under fire. But it's the only way I could practice medicine. And it seems to me this is the only way that you can be a public advocate for lifestyle change that's meaningful to you.
Well, myself, like you, the big money is not in this kind of medicine. You know, most insurance, there's, you know, you have to be artful to get insurance to pay
yep.
for it. You can in some way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I remember one day I was sitting in my office and my husband, who is also my manager, walks in. He said, he gave me the name of a drug. He said, do you know anything about this drug? And I said, yes. And I said, it's a lousy drug that they, you know.
Let me guess. They were posing like a big a spokesperson deal with you.
Yes. And he said, I've got them on the phone right now, and they've offered $2 million if you'll just mention it. He said, but I could probably get them up to $10 million in this phone call.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I said to him, but
tempting.
I can't. I don't believe in or agree with this drug. And he said, I know, I just have to run it by you. Now, I am not that wealthy that I can turn down $2 million or more dollars. But if you are passionate about your message, like you are and I am, then you cannot be bought. Because there's so much of that going on. I was on a show this morning with, you know, a doctor that was taking me on, and I finally had to say, with all due respect, I Googled you, and you are supported by this pharmaceutical company.
Little conflict of interest there, yeah.
Exactly. I said, so your information is coming with agenda. I have no agenda. I don't sell hormones. I sell a way of life. I'd like people to buy my books. I enjoy people responding to the information in the books, but it's this incredible experience for me. I talk to people such as yourself, pick your brain, learn from you, put it down. The editing process is so interesting with my doctors because I will write it out, then I go back to them, is this right? And they go, yes, that's right, but you know, since then this has happened and that's happened, and I keep getting all the most cutting-edge information. So it has been an incredible education for me. I love understanding how my body works. I love understanding the language of my body. I know when my body's talking to me and when I need to do something about it, and it makes me feel that I'm in control and that cancer is not something that, you know, I'm bobbing and weaving, hoping I'm, you know, not in the line of fire. I am doing all that a person can do to prevent cancer in my body by the choices that I make every day. Is that 100%? Probably not. But it sure makes me feel like I've really got a handle on it, and were I ever to get cancer again, I would know, depending on what kind of cancer, what doctor I would go, because I'm so familiar with the natural protocols of different doctors out of there. So it's empowered me, and I'm trying to, with my readers, pass on that empowerment, that don't go to the doctor like a child. Go with information. Know how your body works. Don't blindly take a drug just because they write you a prescription. question, 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 research. You've got this incredible thing called the internet. You can ask it any question, and you have many different sources. So it is so easy to validate information now. And I as hopeless as the environment and the hijacking of our food, all those things are, I find it equally hopeful that there is so much new information and cutting edge science out there that makes aging something that you could look forward to. So that is why I yell my age, that I'll be 67.
Shatter from the mountaintops.
Because who wouldn't want what I have? I'm not old. I'm ageless, and that's what we're trying to achieve. I'm not trying to be younger than I am or look younger. I just am being as young as I feel, and I have boundless energy, and I like the way I look. In fact, in many ways, I like the way I look better now than when I was young. So it's a exciting path to choose.
Suzanne, I thank you. You've been very generous with your time. I know you're busy promoting your new book, but I have a question for you that'll take a couple of minutes. So can I pose it to you?
Sure.
There is now a move afoot to restrict access to bioidentical hormones. I think you're aware that there was a big tragedy in Massachusetts where they took steroids, and the steroids were contaminated, and they injected them into people's spines, and these people are horribly sick. And so, you know, under the motto, never let a good crisis go to waste, the Food and Drug Administration and the government and the powers that be want to highly regulate the compounding pharmacies that are the very pharmacies that make these bioidentical hormones that offer hope to women like yourself. So are you aware of this current brouhaha?
Well, I saw that expose on 60 Minutes, and it appeared that there were very shoddy practices, a lack of
quality control, yes,
to cleanliness. There was mold growing in those test tubes, and that they shame on them. And because of their sloppiness and greed, they are putting all the other good compounding pharmacists and pharmacies in jeopardy. There is state oversight, state by state. There's not a pharmacist over there in the corner mixing up his lotions and potions and with no oversight. And it's just too bad that there was this bad seed out there, and that the guy that blew the whistle is, you know, you have to take your hat off to him. I hope that they don't win their way, because this is the perfect seize the opportunity moment for pharmaceutical companies. You know, bioidentical hormones has grown now into a $1 billion business because of the fact that so many people are now taking them. And that is, by the pharmaceutical companies, they see this as actually coming out of their pocket. It's money they would have had from the ailments of hormonal loss. So they lose money on antidepressants. They lose money on cholesterol-lowering medicine. They lose money on anti-anxiety pills. They lose money on diuretics, and on and on and on. But I really hope that as these movements become afoot, I always start a big writing campaign. This is where social media is really the friend of the consumer, because you can start a lot of noise on social media and write-ins and go after your state representatives, senators, etc.
And I'm sure you'll be talking about this subject on your website at SuzanneSummers.com.
Always. It's up there. If you go to my blog, there are several articles on it right now. So I hope that doesn't happen. There'll be a lot of us screaming. That would get me back to Washington. I've been kind of waiting for a new administration to come in that's more understanding of what it is we're trying to do. But it's crazy that in this country that a person can't choose between standard of care orthodox medicine, the pharmaceutical route, or alternative, or either, like in Europe, in France. Mm-hmm. You go to your doctor and they first treat you homeopathically, and if that doesn't work, then they resort to Western, but it's all covered by insurance. So I hope that that happens here. It's one of the things I'd like to pursue when the season is right.
All right. Well, you know, we know that if it comes down to it, you'll be standing there on the steps of the FDA leading a pack of very angry women going through hormone withdrawal. And that's not a prospect that I think the FDA is going to be too happy to face.
Or if we've got a bunch of women who are in hormonal withdrawal, and we need to fight a war. That's who we need to send.
We can
be mad
at airdrop them over Syria, you know. Okay, great. Well, look, thank you very much. You've been generous with your time. I know that you're on a very busy book tour.
Oh,
you're in the media capital of the United States promoting your new book, I'm Too Young for This, The Natural Hormone Solution to Enjoy Perimenopause.
I always appreciate talking to you. And obviously, it's already ringing a bell from the first show I did this morning, which was Good Morning America. It's number one in all categories on Amazon. So
all right.
There's clearly a thirst for the information, and that makes me happy.
Well, that's great. Go to the GMA website, and you'll get to see Suzanne Summers jousting with some of the people.
With Lara Spencer. Also, go to SuzanneSummers.com. There's interesting looking there. You can take a look at the interesting information on the blog. You can take a look at the skincare and makeup. It's really quite exciting. And there's also one other thing on that website. It's called The Matrix, which I am involved with a company called LifeWave, a nanotechnology company. And David Schmidt, who I've featured in several of my books, has created a small chip that you put on your cell phone between your cell phone and your cell phone cover. That protects you from electromagnetic rads.
That's been a big topic on Intelligent Medicine on our podcast recently. We're really concerned about the hazards of EMFs, electromagnetic.
Right. Well, this protects you by 98% from electromagnetic rads. There are other products out there that offer protection. The most any of them offers is 10%, and it's inconsistent. This is 98%. And this was done at the CGS lab, which is the most respected testing lab in the country. So if I had children, I would want one of these in every one of their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
I have one in mine. It gives me great peace of mind. So click on Matrix and take a look at it. There's a full presentation that was put together by LifeWave and an avatar showing how it works, and I think you'll find it very interesting.
Well, great. Okay, look, time for you to relax, maybe do some yoga, and chill out, because I know the New York vibe is pretty intense, and you've had a busy day.
Yep, I'm going to stand on my head as soon as I get off.
Okay. Thank you very much, Suzanne.
Thanks.
It's really been nice
great
having you on the program once again.
Bye.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.